Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, you might want to open them to John chapter 17. Hallelujah. I'd like to pray before we start this morning, if I may. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your anointing. Father, we ask for a clear channel today that we might hear your voice, move under the authority of it, and receive that which will bring liberty to our soul. We just commit this meeting unto you, the words that I speak. I ask that you anoint the ears of the hearers, that they might hear the voice of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yesterday, we were talking about the tabernacle. And the various pieces of furniture, the process of salvation is what we were talking about. One of the things that I want to share with you this morning, in this form, you cannot necessarily see the dimensional quality of the tabernacle.
የማደሪያውን ድንኳን ምሳሌ በዚህ ሁኔታ አናየውም.
Can we have in here the Hallelujah. But there was a wall that went all the way around the tabernacle. That wall was 10 cubits high. 10 is the number of law. Law designates a way of living. Law designates a way of life. When Jesus came back there during the time of John the Baptist, he went down to the river to be baptized by John the Baptist. And when John said to Jesus, he said to Jesus, I have need to be baptized of thee. But Jesus said to John, let it be so that the fullness of the law, that the law might be fulfilled. Hallelujah. When he said the fullness of the law might be fulfilled, he said he was not saying that the law is done away with. But the law might come to a fullness. And the fullness was in the nature of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So it is not as though that when we get saved or born again, that we are not to be regulated or to be governed by an authority. The fact that the tabernacle has a 10 cubit, dimension signifies the governing of the law, not from without. but from within. Hallelujah. You can go into a religious organization and they can have many rules and regulations, and those you can adhere to those rules and regulations, but the obeying of them does not necessarily make you righteous. It is not that God wants you to do righteous. It is that God wants you to be righteous. Hallelujah. I want to go over into Jeremiah. We'll read in the 31st chapter of Jeremiah, chapter 31.
Ermias 31.
And I want to start after the 29th verse. It says, in those days, hallelujah, that they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. What it's saying there is that the responsibility of iniquity is going to be the responsibility of each and every person as their own individual place of responsibility or accountability.
የሁሉም ነው እንጂ የተወሰኑ ሰዎች አይደለም ማለት ነው አባቶችንም ልጆችንም እንዲወጣ ሲጠቀስ
So for it says in verse 30 but everyone shall die for his own iniquity.
ነገር ግን ሰው ሁሉ በገዛ በደሉ ይሞታል.
Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge.
መራራውን የወይን ፍሬ የሚበላ ሁሉ ጥርሶቹ ይታሳል.
Basically what it's saying,
በመሰረታዊ መንገድ
is that it is not somebody else's fault if you transgress.
እንደዚህ በተላለፋችሁበት ነገር ሌላው ሰው አይቀበልም የናንተን ጥፋት ማለት.
It is not somebody else's fault if you sin.
እናንተ በተፈታችሁት ባጠፋችሁት ኃጢአት በሰራችሁት ነገር የሌላ ሰው ስህተት ነው ማለት አይቻልም.
Hallelujah. You know, we have the tendency to blame things and people. Hallelujah, for having the wrong attitude or responding in the wrong way. He says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord.
ከግብጽ አገር አወጣቸው ዘንድ እጃቸውን ከያዝኩበት ቀን ከአባቶቻቸው ጋር እንደገባሁት ቃል ያለ ቃል ኪዳን አይደለም እነርሱ በኪዳኔ አልጸኑምና
But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. Alright, now look at, read this. It says, I will put my law in their inward parts and write them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Amen. በልባቸው ጥፋዋለው እኔም ማምላክ ሆናቸዋለው እነርሱም ከዚህ ይሆኑልኝ
Amen. You are not to be governed by an outward authority or an outside structure or organization. You are to be governed by an inward thing called an organism. Hallelujah. So if we were where we were supposed to be in God as Christians, oh boy, I'm going to make a statement, and I don't know if you would be able to understand it, but there would be no need for this outside external authority called law. Because we would be a law under God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says that of Jesus, Jesus was not taught the do's and the don'ts. It says that of Jesus he ate butter and honey. That he might know to do the good and reject the evil. Hallelujah. Do you understand the principle?
Huh?
I can raise my children, do, don't. Do, don't. And they might become responsible citizens. They might become responsible adults. Hallelujah. But in the realm of the world, there's always a temptation, there's always an authority that is greater than the law or the knowledge of it. But if we have the knowledge of the lawgiver, who is a law unto himself, and we have the knowledge and the awareness of that lawgiver, we will always do the right thing. Hallelujah. And believe you me, I know what I'm talking about as far as children are concerned. My wife and I have 7 children. All of them grown. And amongst all of them, I think we have 20 grandchildren. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Most of our children are in the ages of 30 to 40. And our grandchildren range from
17.
From minus 60 days to 16. That's minus 60 days and counting.
But two of the babies are not born yet.
Expecting.
And that will make it 22 grandchildren.
Okay.
Anyway. Anyway, we are very family orientated. And Our children were raised for the most part in a Christian environment. Not only that, but they were raised under the authority of this word that I'm telling you and teaching you. They are definitely not perfect children. They definitely have their troubles, their tribulations, their trials, their temptations. Some of them do not do so well sometimes. But by God's grace and prayer, we have a hope that at the end of the day, they will be what God wants them to be. And I made a mistake in raising my children, my older children. Not my grandchildren, my older children. And the mistake I made was that I put more emphasis on the natural position of accountability and responsibility and not enough emphasis on the spiritual reality or the place of responsibility they have before God. Hallelujah. I am not making the same mistake with my grandchildren. Hallelujah. Because I believe that the foundation of life is not a natural position of a responsibility and accountability, but it is on a spiritual basis. Hallelujah. I want to go over into Hebrews, I believe. Where is it where he reiterates this in Hebrews? Hebrews 11.
What verse is this particular verse?
I will write my laws.
What? I'm not sure that's in Hebrews.
This is not in Hebrews. I'm trying to find it this minute.
I'll find it.
All right. Well, Brother Mark is going to be looking for it. But this same verse that is in Jeremiah is in the New Testament, and I want you to read it because it verifies the fact of what we as a New Testament church are supposed to be working toward. So praise the Lord. So there is a wall that is around the tabernacle. And the height of that wall is big enough to where you cannot see over. Okay, I knew it was Hebrews. Hebrews 8:10. It says, okay, let's Hebrews 8:10. I want to start at the sixth verse. Verse 6 of chapter 8 of Hebrews. All right. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises.
አሁን ግን በሚሻል ተስፋ ቃል በተመሰረተ በሚሻል ኪዳን ደግሞ መካከለኛ እንደሚሆን በዚያ ልክ እጅግ የሚሻል አገልግሎት አግኝቷል።
Hallelujah. Now this is talking about Jesus.
ስለ ኢየሱስ ክርስቶስ ነው የሚናገረው።
setting down the path on which we as a New Testament people are supposed to walk. Hallelujah. Verse 7, for if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. And this is the covenant. No, it says, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord.
ከነሱ ጋር ከግብጽ ምድር ከግብጽ አገር አወጣቸው ዘንድ እጃቸውን በያዝኩበት ቀን ከአባቶቻቸው ጋር በገባሁት ኪዳን አይደለም። እነርሱ በኪዳኔ አልጸኑምና እኔም ቸላልኋቸው ይላል ጌታ።
For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, write them upon their heart, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people.
ከዚያ ወራት በኋላ ከእስራኤል ቤት ጋር የምገባው ቃል ኪዳን ይህ ነውና ይላል ጌታ፣ ሕጌን በልቦናቸው አኖራለሁ፣ በልባቸውም እጽፈዋለሁ፣ እኔም አምላክ ሆናቸዋለሁ፣ እነርሱም ሕዝብ ይሆኑኛል።
One of the things that this establishes, that if you want to be a people of God, and you want to have God as your God, there has to be a writing of the laws of God upon your soul. Now, how is that going to happen? Do we go home and memorize the Bible? Well, praise the Lord, that might help. But that isn't necessarily the remedy to the problem. I have found out that you can have the Bible memorized and still be a sinner. You can quote scriptures and still be a sinner. It says that the devil knows scripture. Hello? The devil knows Bible. The devil's going to come with Bible to deceive you. Because it says the devil comes as an angel of light. So how is this process going to work? How do we get the law of God into our minds and into our soul? Hallelujah. Romans, the 8th chapter. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God devised the process of salvation. Not just to save you from hell, but to change you in such a way that hell would reject you.
Hallelujah.
Now that would be a switch, wouldn't it? That would be a switch, wouldn't it? Yeah. Not us rejecting hell, but hell rejecting us. Much like Jonah in the belly of the whale. Do you hear me? Just like Jonah in the belly of the whale. The whale comes along and swallows Jonah. Hallelujah. And thinking that he's got a nice meal that's going to last him for several days. But instead of giving him a feeling of content and being full, being full and being content with the food that's in his belly, the whale begins to get indigestion. The whale begins to get indigestion. Hallelujah. And spits Jonah upon the shore where he's supposed to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's scriptural. That's scriptural, you know. The Bible says that what the devil intended for evil, God turns for good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, yes. Praise the Lord. Romans, the 8th chapter. Verse 1. There is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's it? Verse 1, Romans chapter 8, verse 1.
Okay. But Christos Jesus yallo yehiwet menfes hig kahal yatnakemotin barne azsonyalena ilal le sega saihon le menfes no mi.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
But Christos Jesus yallo yehiwet menfes hig kahal yatnakemotin.
For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Hallelujah. Before I go on, what this verse in the Bible says, that if you are born again, you have received the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You have got the newness of life. If you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, you have no excuse to sin. None. Hallelujah. Now we can look at that verse and say, well, we're still human. We're still living in a human environment. Yes, that is true. But Christ Jesus was a human. He was a man like unto us. And there is no difference between you as a born again Christian
and
who is baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's no difference between you and Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm taking all your excuses away from you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not only am I taking all of your excuses away from you, but I am taking away the ignorance of the scriptures from you. So it becomes not an I can't. It becomes I won't. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Praise the Lord, yes. If we do not walk after the Spirit, but we walk after the flesh, says in verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Does your Bible say us?
Yes. Benya.
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 Yeah.
Benya.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Who is Benya?
Inya. Inya.
Huh?
Inya.
Inya.
Yeah.
Oh, Inya. Inya. It's like in you.
Benya.
Huh?
Inya.
Inya.
Yeah.
Oh, Inya.
Inya.
Yes. Okay.
Inya.
Praise God. Inya. I like that one.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. All of us.
Yeah.
That's you. That's me.
Yeah.
Huh? It's not talking about Christ now. It's talking about you, dear. Huh? Now, when we read that verse, we always thinking of Christ. What he did. How he did it. But Christ, this is not Christ. This is Inya. Huh?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's you. It's me. Hallelujah. And it's not just, it is that the fullness.
Mulatu. I didn't know.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Fullness. What's that mean for you? Huh? Does that mean like a cup that's filled up and running over? Hallelujah. If I have a cup and it's full of liquid, is there room for anything else? Huh?
No.
No. And if there is anything else in the cup, the fluid will bring it up and push it out. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise praise the Lord.
Amen.
I don't know what you said, but praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Sing, amen.
Okay. So we are supposed to walk not after the flesh, but in the Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, brethren, I don't know, I don't quite understand how it is that we can believe we can live halfway in God and halfway in the world. Somewhere. Somewhere in the society of religion, we have lost the focus or the purpose of God. It seems like God is more of an escape mechanism for trouble than he is a cure. It seems like God is more of an escape mechanism than he is as a cure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It seems as though God is more of a provider than a sovereign deity to be worshipped and adored. Hallelujah. And there is a word that God is bringing in this hour to the congregations of this religious society that they need to repent. And they need to turn again, not to a theological concept, but a living reality of a personality that is called God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I am not talking to you as a person that's up here and you're down here. Hallelujah. We are all in the same place. However, there is a knowledge that God is bringing to the church in this hour, that if you and I will delve into it, dig into it, and press into Him what is written in the Scriptures concerning God, is something that God will begin to write on your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I think that this is the impetus that pushes us with this message. In my bringing to you the instructions or the revelation that I have concerning God, increases my responsibility for righteousness. Paul said that he was given revelation, but he was also given a thorn in his flesh. that he might not be exalted. And I do not know exactly what the thorn of, was in Paul's flesh. But the more that I know about God, or the more that I touch God, the realization of how utterly unworthy I am becomes more apparent. Hallelujah. And it is that feeling or that sense that pushes me to touch God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So my coming to you is twofold. It is to help you, but in helping you, I help myself. Hallelujah.
In helping you,
I help myself. Because I bring to the surface my utter and absolute need for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it is my hope, my earnest desire, my hope, in that what you hear will stir something in your heart. And it will stir you so significantly that it will begin to work a change in your way of thinking. Hallelujah. Because that's the only thing that is, that's the only change that's worth anything. That is the only change that will do anything. To give you the strength to stand in the day of trouble. Hallelujah. You go through the Bible and you read the different stories of the saints. The trouble, the tribulation, the persecution, the suffering, and the common denominator in all of it is the love and the relationship that the individual had with a living God. Hallelujah. That's the only thing that kept them. There were many princes in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, and there were many that had the knowledge of the Word of God. But the Bible only talks about four of them. The Bible only recommends the position of righteousness concerning four of them. Why? When they built the idol of Nebuchadnezzar, there were only three who did not bow the knee. And all of those that were in Babylon at that particular, all of those of Israel that were in Babylon at that time were at that ceremony. Hallelujah. But those three boys had a living relationship with a living God. Hallelujah. They did not know whether God would save them or allow them to perish. That type of knowledge wasn't the knowledge that gave them the strength to go into the fire. Hello? Hallelujah. He says, whether we live or whether we perish, we will serve only one God. Hallelujah. Brethren, that did not come in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the time of Christmas. Did you hear me? That did not come instantaneously at that moment of time. Those boys were practicing God. They were walking with God. They were talking in God. And when they weren't talking to God, they were talking to each other about God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so it also must be with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a door that God is opening to his people. Hallelujah. And you will not necessarily find it on the church down there on the corner. Hallelujah. You're going to find it in your closet. You're going to find it in prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. Fasting, not that you see something of God, but fasting and praying that God deliver you from this thing called flesh. Deliver you out of this realm of carnality. Hallelujah. Out from under the spirit of religiousness. Hallelujah. You fast and you pray. Hallelujah. Till a door in heaven opens and the ministration of God comes to deliver you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the purpose. This is the plan. Anything outside of this is deception. Hallelujah. It's not a matter of what you wear. It's not a matter of what you drive. It's not a matter of the house that is over you. It's a matter of what is inside of you. It's a matter of God is walking and talking inside of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You could be a ragged, dirty, unclothed beggar. Inside of you. Hallelujah. You're going to be the child of a king. We come not wanting church. We come looking for God's people. People under the iron hand of religion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You look at that man called the demoniac. He in my perspective. Hallelujah. Is representative or a symbol of the average Christian. action in the average religious organization. Bound. Hallelujah. Bound in chains. Hiding in a cave. But there was something in the heart of that man. Something down under all those demonic influences. Something that was wanting God. Hallelujah. Brethren, do you think those demons went running to the feet of Jesus? Do you think that those demons wanted to be at Jesus' feet? They were doing everything possible to keep the man from running to Jesus. Hallelujah. Whole legion of devils couldn't stop the man.
Hello?
A whole legion of devils couldn't stop the man. The cry of the demon was, Jesus, Son of Nazareth, what have we to do with thee? Hallelujah. Have you come to torment us before our time? But Jesus, Jesus, on the other side of the sea, do you hear me? Heard the cry of the man's heart. He heard it, do you hear me? Jesus heard it.
Hallelujah.
He delivered the man and he left. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have no excuse. Man, he didn't have blood. Demoniac, he had no blood. He had no Holy Spirit. All he had was a desire to be free, to meet God. Brought God down out of heaven to him. My God. Hallelujah. Jesus. The same today. As he was yesterday. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are you going to do with him? Is it going to be just another message? Another teaching? Close up your notebooks. Set them on the shelf. What are you going to do? We're leaving. We're going to our set of circumstances, our tribulations, our trials, our tribulations, our overcoming. Have a desire to come back, but don't know. Don't know. I have nothing to gain in my coming except to help you and for you to help me. Hallelujah. What are you going to do with the responsibility? It's up to you. Hallelujah. It's up to you. Because you are the one that is going to be accountable. with what you have and what you are getting and what God will give you because of what you have heard. You are accountable with regards to that knowledge. God bless you.
Amen.
I forgot to turn mine on again.
Amen.